May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 399. Amidst 10,000 anxious cares, the world and Satan's deep-laid snares, this my incessant cry shall be, Jesus, reveal thyself to me. 399.
May the Lord help us to read the Gospel according to St. Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. Behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter, and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face, and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them, and said, Arise, and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man, until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. And his disciples asked him, saying, Why then say the scribes that Elias must first come? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elias is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him, and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic, and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire, and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart, and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. And while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, The Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again. And they were exceeding sorry. And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, Doth not your master pay tribute? He saith, Yes. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, What thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children, or of strangers? Peter saith unto him, Of strangers. Jesus saith unto him, Then are the children free. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast an hook, and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take, and give unto them, for me and thee. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word, and may he grant prayer. O Lord, do grant us thy blessing on thy word, spiritual understanding, which only thou canst give, a saving, effectual application, which only thou canst give, that the word may profit us, that thou wouldst grant the word may come, mixed with faith in them that hear it. For the words that thou dost speak unto thy people, they are spirit and they are life. O Lord, do speak to us in that way tonight. For the flesh profiteth nothing. Lord, what unprofitable creatures we are in ourselves. But Lord, thou hast made that way and dost accomplish it, whereby sinners are made profitable in a living union with Christ, the living vine. Oh, may we thus be fruitful branches. O Lord, we pray for faith in Jesus Christ. O Lord, do help us to look to thee. Do help us to cleave to thee. Oh, we do pray that thou wouldst be with us savingly and blessedly this evening. We are not worthy, Lord. Oh, on the ground of worthiness there is no hope. The sin since we have entered into thy house are sufficient to damn us. O Lord, we plead. O, for thy name's sake, come. For thy name's sake, Lord, do thou it. Cleanse us from all our iniquity. Wash away all our sin. Overcome all the flesh. Overcome self. Overcome, Lord, pride, unbelief, worldliness, idolatry, lust, every evil. O Lord, overcome for us the adversary of our souls, who first tempted us in Adam, and still tempts us. O Lord, without thy intervention, he holds our eyes blind in unbelief. Oh, we plead, Lord, come to those who've never once been delivered from Satan's power. and come to those of us who hope and trust. Let it come the former day and come again and loose us once more. O Lord, we pray that thou would set free the captives, loose the prisoners. O Lord, break not the bruised reed, nor quench the smoking flax. Strengthen, revive, raise that smoking flax to a flame. Kindle in our hearts the flames of never dying love. O Lord, grant us spiritual life, spiritual exercise. We prove, Lord, it is from thee alone. We cannot bring a clean thing out of this unclean thing. O Lord, oh, we plead for thy name's sake. Put forth the power of thy resurrection. Lord Jesus, let my soul live and it shall praise thee. Let thy judgments help us. Restore unto us the joy of thy salvation and uphold us with thy free spirit. Mercifully sprinkle upon us clean water from all our filthiness and all our idols. Do cleanse us. O Lord, grant to us right thoughts. Then, O is Lord, how thy people are grieved when thou dost cause them to realize the vanity of their thoughts. What of old said, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Oh, have we truly that hatred? Have we truly that love? Oh, may it be more manifest. Lord, come and save us. Have mercy on us, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out our transgressions. Do be our sufficiency this night. Do pour into a poor empty vessel. Grant the opening of a door of utterance and of hearing. Grant thy people may know that blessing. Those three disciples of whom we read knew. They saw Jesus only. O Lord, we pray for such a few. Lord, oh, we pray. Do hear the petitions in our opening hymn. And grant, Lord, even in this service, the fulfillment for those who truly were unable to plead it as they sang it. And Lord, if any did not really feel what they were singing, if any even now does not really want what the hymn writer wanted, O Lord, work in their souls, even this evening, the quickening of the dead, the reviving of the cold, lukewarm, far off, insensible, hardened. Lord, oh, do minister to us, we beseech thee. Bless this people. Be with them each individually. Protect them, provide for them, direct them, keep them. Grant them each, according to thy will, the blessing of the Lord, which maketh rich, to know Christ as theirs, to hear his voice, to know salvation by the remission of sin, to know Christ as their all. Lord, do uphold in the trials, the tribulations. Sanctify richly these things to their good. Lord, bring them forth as gold from the flame, thy time and way. Lord, do help our friend and brother at the desk. Bless the hymns that are sung. May he truly prove to be of being directed by thee, even in these matters, in all those things that fall to his lot in thy providence. O Lord, do bless the church. Bind them together closer and closer in Christ. Help each, Lord, to bear one another's burdens. Favour each with personal communion, that thereby there might be that communion one with another. Thy servant John said, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, then have we fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. What more, Lord, can we desire for ourselves or this people? To walk in the light, shine forth, Lord, O blessed Son of Righteousness. We pray, Lord, for our dear friend and brother detained in that foreign land, would be here tonight, but it is thy will otherwise. We pray thou wouldst help him, uphold him and be with him. And if it would please thee, Lord, do make a way for his return and grant him safe conduct. He may once more return to his home and this people. O Lord, we pray for Zion wherever she is. Do bless thy servants. Make them able ministers of the New Testament, of the Spirit and not of the letter. The letter killeth, the Spirit giveth life. Lord, we pray thy rich blessing. We may yet see better days if it would please thee. And Lord, that thou wouldst revive us personally. And Lord, may we know thee more, and thus more resemble thee. Oh, do grant to Zion a revival in every grace, for she languishes and is brought low. We would thank thee, Lord, for those evidences that thou hast not left thy people. Thy Spirit remaineth among them, and Lord, here and there, yet thy work appears. But Lord, it seems so scarce. More frequent let thy visits be, or let them longer last. Oh, may there be more godly additions. May there be more souls gathered in and blessed. Lord, to the glory of thy name, the salvation of thine elect. Remember the afflicted. Lord, do be with them. Do heal, we pray, if it would please thee. Where it is thy will, the affliction must remain. Oh, do from that affliction take the curse. Make all their bed in their sickness. And grant grace sufficient. Lord, and in the hour and article of death. Oh, we plead thou wouldst give to us each grace sufficient. Thou hast said it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Bless our young. We seek their salvation. Lord, thou art sovereign. But we will plead, subject to thy holy will, save our children. Lord, quicken the dead in sins. Maintain the living. Feed thy lambs. Bless thy seekers. O Lord, thou hast begun a good work in them, will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. May thy and thy people be favoured to see this. Lord, thou wouldst bring them each to that blessing. One thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see. Even to see Jesus. Oh, thy servant wrote, we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus. Made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honour. Oh, do grant that view. Lord, everything else then would fade into insignificance. The mountain should be made a plain. And we should love thee. Lord, oh, we pray for it. Have mercy on Britain. In wrath, remember mercy. Thy judgments are upon us in so many ways, but not in the measure we deserve. Lord, yet spare this land. Oh, yet, Lord, we pray, preserve to us thy holy word and the freedom of possession and reading and the liberty of gathering together in this way. Oh, we pray for thy overruling. Yes, if it is thy will, a new government shall be elected. We pray for thy overruling in this, that in mercy thou wouldst raise up those that shall be good for this land. Men and women of uprightness, integrity, honesty, possessing thy fear if it would please thee. Lord, do help. Do undertake. Lord, help us personally to plead. Do pour upon Zion a spirit of prayer. Look upon all those we would and should pray for. We would not and cannot enumerate all their cases, but would plead for Zion. Help her, do her good, build her up. Forgive now what one's asked amiss. And help us truly to plead in the worthy, only prevailing name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And for his sake, amen.
Hymn 274. The Lord in Zion reigns, and will his people keep. 'Tis he the universe sustains, and well secures his sheep. 274.
In dependence upon the Lord, I venture to direct you to the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 17. Reading verses 18 to 21. Matthew chapter 17, verses 18 to 21. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him. The child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart, and said, "Why could not we cast him out?" And Jesus said unto them, "Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting." It is particularly the 20th verse, but I've read the other verses, as really they are inseparable from this. And Jesus rebuked the devil. He is the only one who is able to do this. This was what God promised Adam and Eve, when in their hearing he spake to Satan, "The seed of the woman shall bruise the serpent's head." And Jesus rebuked the devil. How is it that he has this power? Why, how is it that he alone could bruise Satan's head? How is it that he alone could defeat Satan? Why, it was necessary for him to descend from heaven, to take the nature of man without sin, that in that nature that had fallen under the temptation in the beginning, the church should stand in their covenant head. He suffered being tempted, but being true Almighty God, he stood. Spotless, innocent and pure he stood. But Satan's fiery dancing bore, and did resist to blood. Oh, how precious to the Church of God is this one. The one who alone could say, "The prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me." But, oh, remember that there was that work of the Spirit evidently in the father of this lad, this son of his, that was lunatic and beset with this devil. And so this sets forth the work of God in causing the promise given to Adam and Eve to be fulfilled. Sinners are brought, vexed with the devil, either personally or, as in this case, relatively. And one may be sure that this poor man with his son in such an affliction, though it was his son's affliction, because it was his son, it was his affliction, just as it was with that woman of Cana. She came to Jesus saying, "Lord, help me." Oh, may those here this evening, vexed with the devil in their own heart, or in someone near to them, or in some other way, be led of the Spirit to Christ, as this man was. And Jesus rebuked the devil. Ah, oh, the blessed ministry of Christ. That is all that is needed, my dear friend. I say all. I do not in any way speak of this as being a little thing. But that was all that was needed It was the Holy Spirit's working. There was no merit in this man that came to Jesus. But being led by the Spirit and coming unto him in faith as he did. Why, the Lord Jesus in his covenant bond, he is bound to deliver that one. He may wait, as is set forth in the case of that woman of Canaan. He may to begin with answer not a word. He may say trying, searching words. But his purpose right from the beginning, his purpose right from eternity in his eternal counsels, and his purpose right from the beginning in that person's experience in causing them to take their first step Christward, his purpose is that he will deliver. I said, not unto the seed of Jacob seek ye me in vain. I declare things that are right. Sinner, if you ask the Lord Jesus to rebuke the devil for you, he will. He will. Oh, he is moved with compassion. Sinner, if you have need to ask the Lord Jesus to rebuke the devil, your case is such that moves the compassion of Jehovah. For if you have need of him to rebuke the devil, yours is a pitiful case. Yours in yourselves is a helpless case. Oh, yours is such a needy case. Yours is such a difficult case if you need the Lord Jesus to rebuke the devil for you. But every one of those things, and there's many more things that could be said, but every one of those things concerning your case, why, it's for that very purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he should destroy the works of the devil. And Jesus rebuked the devil. Yes. Rebuked. On what ground does Jesus rebuke the devil? On the ground of his own work. Jesus' own work and his relationship to this people. That's the ground on which Jesus rebukes the devil. There's no other ground on which the devil can be rebuked. Oh, sinner, you that know that when the devil accuses you concerning your transgressions, you have nothing in yourself to answer. And you that know that when the devil tempts you with lies, and when he tempts you by setting before you sin and causing you oftentimes to fall into it, oh, you know why there's no ground whatever in yourself for any hope of deliverance from this one. But Jesus rebukes him. Remember what the Lord said to Joshua, or rather to Satan, when Joshua the high priest was standing before the Lord and Satan was standing at his right hand to resist him. And remember, Joshua was clothed in filthy garments. That's you and me, sinner. We've polluted our garments. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And our iniquities, like the wind, have carried us away. But what does the Lord say? The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Is not this a brand plucked from the burning? He did not say, is not this a good person? He did not say, is not this one who has not polluted his garments? No, he could not say that. Did he say this one is not as bad as others? No, he could not say that. Is not this a brand plucked from the burning? The Lord of the chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee, O Satan. And then that command was given. Take his polluted garments off. Clothe him in change of raiment. Put a fair mitre upon his head. And Jesus rebuked the devil. Oh, the mercy of God. In his dear son rebuking the devil. His pure mercy. You then that are this night vexed with the devil. There's only one plea. God be merciful to me a sinner. And he departed out of him. He's thrust out. The stronger than he has come. He cannot stand before Jesus' rebuke. No. Jesus knows those that are his. Jesus knows for whom he died. And when his word goes forth, Satan cannot stand. Ah, he has no hold. This one, this Almighty One speaks, and he must come forth. And he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Healed at the word of Jesus, cured from that very hour. An immediate cure. So Joshua the high priest found it. So each one under whom Jesus speaks finds it. Oh, it's not a clambering up, as dear Philpot puts it. It's not a clambering up out of the horrible pit in the miry clay. The Lord speaks and it is done. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? As we've read, the man first came to the disciples and they could not cast out that devil. And they whom the Lord had sent forth to preach the gospel, they come to Jesus. Why could not we cast him out? This is that which each one of the Lord's people prove concerning the devil. What is a disciple of Jesus without Jesus himself? What is the ministry of one of the Lord's servants without the power of Jesus himself? Paul said, neither is he that planteth anything, or he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Why could not we cast him out? Are there things, sinner, in your life, personally, in your own soul? And perhaps with regard to others, matters you have sought to pray about. And you come to this point, you realize, no. The devil is not cast out. This that we sought, and we may be sure that the disciples sought, that they should cast this devil out. Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. Because of your unbelief. all the wretched sin of unbelief. Bunyan calls it the white devil of unbelief. Why does he call it the white devil? Because the adversary himself, the devil, and our wicked unbelieving hearts, they would paint unbelief a different colour to what it actually is. They would paint it white instead of the colour it should be painted it actually is, which is black. Insinuating, supposing that there is something good about unbelief. Presenting doubts and fears as being something of humility. Ah, the white devil. Oh, we must not presume. And really, the sinner is in unbelief when he's often saying that. We must not presume. It is true, we must not presume. No, presumption isn't faith. But oh, to be left in that condition where, oh, the power of unbelief is such that we are held blind to its sin and its guilt and its misery because of your unbelief. But you see, what the Lord Jesus spoke here was what these disciples and what each one of us are beset with by nature. Unbelief. Your unbelief. You know, it is natural for men to be unbelievers. Man is ruined by nature. Of himself, it is impossible for man savingly to believe. There are many faiths, there's only one saving one, and that is God-given. The Word of God speaks solemnly concerning faith. Remember what James wrote in his epistle, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? That living faith which Christ is the author and the finisher of, it is an effectual grace. That living faith, that blessed trust in Christ, that grace by which the Lord Jesus is looked to and trusted in, by that grace by which the sinner commits their whole unto him. That faith by which that sinner approaches him. And that increase of faith by which that sinner believes on him to the forgiveness of their sins. And the relieving of all their woes. Through that faith, there is fruit brought forth. Faith without works is dead because of your unbelief. Because of your unbelief. Why then, at that time when they tried to heal that lunatic son, they were not granted by God that blessing of faith. If they laid their hands on him, or even prayed for him, spoke the words of the truth to him, it was without the blessed grace of faith, believing that God was able to do that, that they sought that he would do. Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. He spoke then, if ye have faith. If that faith be given you. If the blessed Spirit of truth take the veil from off your eyes and grant you faith even as a grain of mustard seed, the smallest of seeds, a grain of mustard seed, the little that a righteous man hath, how does he have it? Oh, who is this righteous man? And how doth he have this little grain of faith? Who is it that is righteous? It is those that are accounted righteous by God, by the imputation of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That is their justification. But who is it that is righteous? That is, there is that in them which is right. It is that one under whom God communicates the blessed Spirit of his dear Son. Remember, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed. But then, go back a little as it comes to my mind now in trying to speak. Because of your unbelief. There was the difference, you see, between them and he who had cast the devil out. It's a point that is not very often mentioned in our ministry, the faith of Jesus Christ. Oh, but it is a precious doctrine. It is a precious thing to have a glimpse of. When you feel to be a child of God, such an unbeliever, that the Saviour that God has set forth in his word, and part of the obedience which God required of his dear Son was faith. Now it is evident in the record we have of the Lord Jesus' sojourn here on this earth how he trusted implicitly in his Father. Think of those whole nights in prayer unto his Father. Think of how he said to Simon Peter concerning the sifting in Satan's sieve, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Because of your unbelief. Father, he said at the grave of Lazarus, Father, I know that thou hearest me always, but because of those that stand by, I said this, because of your unbelief. But for who was the whole of the obedience of Jesus Christ? That's the sacred point. That's the blessed point regarding this. For whom did he obey in this respect and in every respect? Not for himself. For his people. And what shall come, what must come to his people because of his obedience even unto death? What must come to them is the fruit of every part of his work. And so what must come to them is that faith, which he is the author and the finisher of. If ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, so small, so small. Oh, not yet the faith of assurance, but that little grain of faith to put in a believing plea. The little grain of faith that the leper had, Lord, if thou will, thou couldst make me clean. You know, a true believer may seem to have a lot less faith than an unbeliever. Ah. Oh. A person may say they're sure of going to heaven and drop into hell. A person may plead with a grain of faith for Jesus to save them from going down into hell and take them to heaven. That one will go to heaven. It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. If ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place. If ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, there will be mountains. The faith as a grain of mustard seed reveals the mountain. A lot of people speak, you know, about faith in God's mercy. But if you're never given a grain of faith in God's justice, you never really feel to need God's mercy. And if you have a grain of faith in God regarding his holiness, his righteousness, his infinite supremacy, his holy law, you have a mountain. And the mountain is above all what is set forth in the book of Job. How then shall a man be just before God? What a mountain that is. If you have a grain of faith in God and his justice, you've got a mountain of sin. Why could not we cast him out? No, why could not we cast him out? Sinner, have you these mountains? And not only the mountain of the guilt of past offences, but the mountain of the power of your sin now, to realise the wretched man or woman that you are, to realise the mountain of your ungodliness, to realise the mountain of your earthly mindedness. To realise the mountain of your unbelief. Jesus, he made his disciples realise the impossibility of salvation but by the merciful, mighty work of God, didn't he? When he said, it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And they said unto him, who then can be saved? And he said, the things that are impossible with men are possible with God. And for those of you here this evening and you have this mountain, how can I be saved? When I've got a nature like I have. When I've got such a deceitful heart as I have. When I am such an easy prey for Satan as I am. When I would do good, evil is present. When I cannot cease from sin. And above all, as I often speak of it, the death blow to a poor sinner when I cannot myself believe. This mountain. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, that faith, in God, that faith in Him, in His almighty power, that nothing is too hard for Him. Oh, what a blessing. When God shows Himself to a sinner, truly has the Almighty. But when He shows Himself to a sinner in that way, that brings them to put their trust in Him, He shows Himself not only as Almighty, but merciful. That is, that He puts forth that almighty power to save a sinner because He will save them. Because of His everlasting love and covenant faithfulness. Not on account of anything in them whatever, but altogether on account of His love, His promise, His unchanging word, in which He has set forth His Son as the Saviour whom He has sent. The Saviour whom He has set up from everlasting. The Saviour of whom He has required the complete fulfilment of His blessed law and to the redemption of the souls of His people. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed. Oh, the Lord, help me to speak of how a sinner has this faith. It is the work of the Holy Spirit invariably in bringing a sinner to feel and know their need. The Lord, in bringing His people to a deliverance, He sits as a refiner and purifier of silver, that He may purify the sons of Levi, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. And what is it that is burnt up in that furnace, the refiner's fire? It's every other hope of deliverance. It was so with the woman with the issue of blood. It wasn't until she'd been round all the physicians and had got no better but rather worse. It wasn't until she'd spent all her money. Then, you see, the Holy Spirit watching over her and causing her affliction to be such that no physician could touch it. Then, you see, the Holy Spirit causes her to hear of Jesus. And then she has a grain of faith, even as a grain of mustard seed. Now that faith was not without works, was it? She didn't sit at home, having heard of Jesus. And my dear friend, if you have this little grain of faith, you won't sit at home saying, I've heard of Jesus. I don't mean there's anything physical about this, any physical movement. When I say you won't sit at home, I mean this. There'll be a going out of self to Christ. There'll be going out of all those refuges of lies. If I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. Wasn't that little grain of faith sufficient? It was sufficient to bring her through the crowd that were pressed about him. And because it was of Jesus' authorship, when she touched, she received what she believed she would receive. Immediately, virtue went out of him into her, and she felt in herself that her plague was cured. That mountain made a plain. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed. This then she heard of Jesus. Oh, you see, that's when a person has faith. When God ministers to their soul of himself. And you see, the one, the blessed one who he sets before them, the one whom the Holy Spirit takes the things of, and shows them unto a poor sinner. You see, it is this that causes this faith to spring up in this man or this woman's soul. What is it? Why, what God saith of his Son. To begin with, what name does he give him? The name that was given by the angel, that is the minister of God, to tell Mary and Joseph the name that they should call this child that was to be born unto her. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. Ah, you say, oh, that I could hear that name like that. Jesus said, for judgment am I come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that those which see might be made blind. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, if that word for judgment am I come into this world be spoken by the Lord into your soul, and a grain of faith given in that way, Lord, thou art sent for judgment. And thy judgment is that every sinner that looks to thee, that pleads with thee, that calls upon thy name, that pleads one of thy promises, thou wilt fulfill it. Ye shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. Ah, again, The poor sinner that says, oh, that I might hear the name of Jesus, in the way Newton says, sweet in a believer's ear. What was one of the things that the Lord Jesus did? In his miracles, the deaf hear. Surely that set forth not only his power to heal the body, but his power in the healing of the soul. Ah, oh, the deaf hear. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you say concerning this, shall we call it in accordance with the word of God, this unclean spirit, this deafness. How is it we could not cast him out? How is it that I cannot hear the name of Jesus as I would hear it? How is it that I cannot hear of him as I long to hear of him? How is it that I cannot hear to the saving of my soul? How is it that I cannot hear in such a way as my soul is wholly taken up with him? Why are you needing to come and give you hearing if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed? Ask and it shall be given thee. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. The Lord enabled me to speak a little further of this one in whom this faith is. Jesus said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, what is it that the Spirit shows to a poor dying sinner about Christ as he is set forth in the type with a brazen serpent? Ah, oh, the Lord Jesus, Paul speaks of him, made a curse for us. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. This mountain, oh sinner, this mountain of your guilt and ruin, this mountain of your ungodliness, this mountain of that broken law, oh, the one lifted up, made a curse for his people. As it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. Oh, that little face, it sees him smitten by God in his people's place. It sees him fulfilling the law completely. It sees in him the Father requiring everything needed for the deliverance of his church. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd and the sheep shall be scattered, but I will turn my hand upon the little ones. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, when the Spirit kindly and mercifully lifts up the Son of Man, and faith as a grain of mustard seed, I've sometimes spoken of it like this. You know, an Israelite, it was a great company of those Israelites. Hundreds of thousands of them. Surely then some of those that looked at that brazen serpent were a long way off. Some of them did not see, I don't believe, any more than a glint on the horizon But wasn't that sufficient? It was. We read that every man that had a serpent bite, when he looked upon that serpent, he lived. If ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye should say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. But surely, the Lord Jesus did not mean here that the people would literally stand and say to a mountain, remove hence. No. He is speaking of the inward work of that faith in a sinner's heart, whereby in looking unto God, they believing that he is able to do it, call upon him to do it, look unto him to do it, plead with him to do it, believing that it shall be done. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And so this ye shall say unto this mountain. Surely in a person's spiritual experience and their providential experience, the two interwoven, faith brings that great mountain to the Lord. Faith spreads the whole matter before him. And faith falls down at the feet of him and looks singly to him to do the whole. Ye shall say unto this mountain, faith speaking in this way. And by that faith, that sinner pleads with God. Lord, do thou it for thy name's sake. Remove hence to yonder place. All of this removing hence to yonder place will be in accordance with the Lord's word and will. In his word, are we given to expect that at our will we can say to this literal mountain, be removed? No. But by his word, we are given to expect that he will make a way where there is no way. Who art thou, O great mountain? What was that great mountain? Concerning which the prophet said, who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain. The mountain was the decree of those in authority to stop the building of the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, the rebuilding of it. The building had started, the foundation had been laid by the decree of that man in authority. Now opposition had arisen. Another man is in authority and the work is stopped. But it was the will of God that that temple should be built. A mountain then is anything that stands in the way of the Lord's will being performed. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain. This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Removed hence. Ah, where does the Lord say his people's sins shall be removed hence. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. The hymn writer speaking of this blessing, he says, I search to find my sins. My sins can ne'er be found. And what did Hezekiah know? Thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back, removed hence. And it shall remove. But regarding that mountain, which you face day by day, child of God, in the possession of an old nature, has the Lord promised that in this life you will be completely free of it? No. We may not, we must not expect such a thing then. The hymn writer says of the believer that when he passes, when he comes to that place where he passes from time into eternity, he'll find the Canaanites still in the land there. But where has the Lord promised, by the work of his Son, that old nature shall be? Where is the hence that the Lord has promised it shall be? He said to Rebecca, the elder shall serve the younger. Newton speaking of the conflict, he says, and victory hangs in doubtful scale. But Jesus has his promise passed, that grace shall overcome at last. Removed hence. What is it that causes? Ah, what alone can cause the old nature to be put under, kept under? Only the Lord Jesus. Ah, those of you that have the trouble, the great mountain of idols. You say, is that a great mountain? If those idols stand in the way of you worshipping the one you would worship, then it is a mountain, isn't it? But does not the Lord promise, from all your filthiness and from all your idols, I will cleanse you? But how are those idols removed? If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed. Faith in God's way of doing it, which is his dear Son. Or the only way of doing it. Berridge says, soon as faith my Lord can see, hanging on the cross for me, quick my idols all depart, Jesus gets and fills my heart, removed hence. Nothing shall be impossible unto you. Now man may misinterpret this, interpret it as though the people of God are omnipotent. They're not. This is the confidence that we have in him, said John, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Nothing shall be impossible unto you, according to the will of God. Nothing. The Israelites come to the Red Sea. It's impossible. The mountains are either side. The Egyptians are coming up behind. Nothing shall be impossible unto you. The Lord making walls of water either side of that passage through. But the Egyptians are following. God brings the walls down. Nothing shall be impossible with you. Oh. this a vast subject, I must stop. But poor sinner, when the Lord says nothing, he means nothing. And you know that little grain of faith, it looks to the Lord for everything, is a little faith in a great God. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, it's a single eye. Nothing. No, not impossible for your sins to be forgiven. Not impossible for your hard heart to be softened. Not impossible for you, so worldly, to be spiritually minded. Not impossible for you with the disposition you have, perhaps so fretful, such a bad temper. Not impossible for you to be meek and submissive at the feet of Jesus, at his word, under his power. And in your providences tonight, oh, how often a child of God who cannot die until the Lord's time has come. Perhaps the doctors have given them up. If your faith is a grain of mustard seed, have not some of you proved it? Nothing shall be impossible with you. And that path that the Lord calls his people to walk. You may wonder tonight why it is such a difficult path. You may wonder tonight why there are such mountains in the way. You may wonder tonight why there are so many ingredients in that cup that you have that are so bitter. So many things that make you feel I can't go on. That's the Lord's design. That's the Lord's design. Because we can't go on right without the Lord. He himself is the way, the truth, and the life. Those of you tonight that have come to that place Joseph Hart speaks of, the way so narrow, so pressed, there seems no way at all. If your faith is a grain of mustard seed, Lord, thou art the way. If thou make thyself my way, I shall come right, Lord. If thou convince me of sin, I shall be convinced. If thou give me faith, I shall have faith. If thou shed abroad thy love in my heart, I shall love thee. If thou forgive my sins, Lord, I shall be eternally justified. Nothing shall be impossible. Haven't some of you looked back on paths you've had to walk in? You've had to acknowledge it was only the Lord that brought me through. It would have been impossible for me to come through. But when you came to your wit's end, as we read in the Psalm 107, did not the Lord give you a grain of faith as a mustard seed? Perhaps you had to plead one word for week after week after week, month after month after month. But was it in vain? No. It will not be in vain. Those of you that are in the midst of such a path tonight, if your faith is a grain of mustard seed that looks up to the Lord, he must attend unto that cry. He must bring you off more than conquer in the end. But nothing should be impossible unto you. But the sinner doesn't do anything, does he? That's why nothing should be impossible with them. Because that little grain of faith, it leaves all the boasting self behind. My dear friend, when you have this little grain of faith given to you, you cease from your own works. And when the Lord accomplishes what that little faith looks for, what does the sinner have to say? What has God wrought? What has God wrought? I've done nothing. This is the way God gets to himself all the glory. None shall glory in his sight of their labours e'er so bright. All who are taught by God shall know living faith from Christ must flow. For nothing should be impossible unto you. Now I realise I haven't spoken from that last verse I named. Howbeit this kind cometh not forth, but by prayer and fasting. The prayer of faith. The prayer of Christ. His fasting. Prayer and fasting. Faith causes a sinner to cry unto God, prayer, and to fast. It's not something that really, as far as I know, many, if any, of the Lord's people attend to in this day. The only person I really have read of who was led by God to fast was Ruth Bryan. And when particular times in her diary she speaks of a particular need, a pressing need, and she felt so burdened and she had faith given unto her, and she set herself apart unto seeking the blessing. That is really fasting. With her, she did actually abstain from eating food, becoming so weak in her body, and yet she speaks of the Lord sustaining her miraculously in it. But what is really set forth? The spiritual fasting. When by faith a sinner, as it were, is separated unto receiving nothing but what the Lord gives. Fasting from receiving any consolation from any other. Fasting from receiving any glimmer of hope from any other quarter but the Lord himself. It sets forth a spiritual concentration. Jacob had it. I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Amen.
God willing, Mr. John Rosier is expected to preach next Lord's Day and Monday evening. Hymn 941. Jesus, my Lord, my life, my all, prostrate before thy throne I fall. Fain would my soul look up and see my hope, my heaven, my all in thee. 941.
forgive all that has been amiss in this service. Do bless thy own word. Cause it to remain with us. Grant us that precious grain of faith. Grant us prayer and fasting. Grant us the removing of the mountain. Keep us safe now as we separate. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us. Amen.